Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. We got a hell of a show for you tonight, if I can actually make it happen. I'm having the greatest problems tonight on a show I didn't want to have problems on, but we're going to go ahead and try to give Chip Pollard a call. For some reason, my station is not wanting to call out tonight. I shot him a text. Okay, we got him. Here he is. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, the surgeon, Chip Pollard. Chip, how's it going? Oh, no. Didn't my stuff freeze up on me? I tell you what, this is where live radio can kill you, and it's killing me right now. My guest is on hold. We're going to see if we can get him on right now. For some reason, the internet is just not wanting to communicate with my plug-in tonight, but hopefully we'll get Chip Pollard on in just one second here. Oh, I can't believe this is happening. You know, it's just one of the things that happens. There's nothing I can do about it. Let's go ahead and see if I could refresh a certain aspect, and we'll get Chip on. Chip, I apologize. I'm not sure what's going on at this moment in time. I'm going to go ahead and hang up if I can get you to call back one more time, brother. I apologize, and I appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, I apologize. I do not know what's going up with the internet tonight. I may end up having just a shut the show down if I can't get my board to work, and that's not something I wanted to do, but we can reschedule the show for another day. But hopefully we'll get Chip to call back in. Yeah, it's not going to happen. My internet just went out. Oh, here we go. Let's see if we can get him on here now. Chip, are you on? Man, this thing is just crashing on me. All right, we'll just give it one second. We'll see if we can get him on there. And it's not looking like it's going to happen. Crud. Let me refresh one time and see if I can get it to refresh. If not, Chip, just stay on hold. I'm going to get you on. I promise, brother. I apologize for the technical difficulties. For some reason, the board crashed right before we went live, and we'll see if we can make this happen. You know, to my listeners, I apologize. This is unprofessional. I don't usually operate in this fashion, nor, you know, my guests deserve a lot better than what I'm giving tonight. I can't, you know, fix what's going on with the internet, but hopefully we'll be able to get Chip on and get the show going. Hopefully we'll be able to do that right now. I just refreshed everything. Let's see if we can get Chip on. It's not going to do it. Let's see if I can get him on the other way. I apologize. We're going to have to probably just cancel this episode. Hey, Chip, hold on the line for 1 minute. I'm going to try one other option, and then I'll be right back with you. We can continue. Hopefully we can get Chip on the line now. Yeah, it's still not going to happen. It says I'm disconnected, but I'm in the show. We're just going to have to cancel the episode for tonight. I apologize. There's nothing else I can do about it. The board's just not working. It's not allowing. Chip's on the line, but I can't get him on. I apologize, Chip. I'll reschedule the show for – I'll get with you and I'll reschedule it, and we'll see if we can't figure out what's going on. I can't get it to work right now. Let's see if I can bring you on one last time. Chip, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Oh, my God. Finally. What a hell of a night. For some reason, the Internet took a dive, and as you know, I use a plug-in to New York. So first and foremost, I apologize to you. Your time is very valuable, and I apologize wasting it.
No worries.
You know, I was kind of scared. I had to reset. I actually had to jump out of the studio and get back into the studio while still being in the studio, so it kind of made it a little hard. You know, you had a tremendous outing this last line fights. You know, I look at the beginning to now, to how you've grown from the beginning of the first show that we did together to the point of Lion Fights this last weekend. When you look at that aspect of you as a warrior, how much more do you feel that you defined yourself moving forward into the sport and the art of Muay Thai?
I think I've definitely picked up a lot of actual Muay Thai from when I started. I started out as a skilled MMA striker. I was obviously coming from an MMA background. I'd been competing in MMA for a long time, and by MMA standards, I had good Muay Thai, but I don't think I realized how much Muay Thai I didn't really know, as far as like the little intricate things and all the little aspects of Muay Thai that you don't typically see in MMA competition. So I've just been absorbing as much as I can and trying to represent the sport as well as I can and actually display like a good high level Muay Thai as I should being a champion.
Most definitely, you know, and that's kind of what I want to touch on. You know, you walk into this last weekend and, you know, to be quite honest with you, you bring a veracity to the Muay Thai aspect. I'm so glad that you actually left the MMA aspect because it seems like you found your road, you know, in Muay Thai. You know, when you look back at Lion Fights 45, it was probably the truest aspect of being tested for you in your career thus far in Muay Thai. Would you say that's a fair assessment?
I feel like every fight is obviously the toughest fight yet, especially right after the fact, while you're still in the ring and it's fresh. But this was definitely one of the trickier fights. Obviously, I've had like battles before, me and Paul Banachek a year ago to the date of this past show when I won the title. That was a battle. That was a tough fight. The fight in London was a tough fight. My last fight against Slava Aleksicek was a tough fight. But this one presented some different challenges. He did some things I wasn't expecting. He was switching stance a lot. He wasn't as aggressive as I thought he was going to be. He was tricky. He was throwing a lot of teeps. That was making it tough to get my punches going. I like to set up a lot of my offense off of my jab and off of my punches. And he kept on throwing teeps pretty relentlessly, so it was tough to get my game going. And he kept on switching stance, which made it tough for me to get a bead on him a little bit. But he was a tough guy. He was a talented guy. I knew he was going to be going in there. I knew he was going to be bigger than me. I knew he was going to be more experienced as far as like the Muay Thai aspect. But it was a tough fight. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, you know. I watched the fight. For me, okay, you know, I'm transparent, bro. And you know, a lot of fighters that get wobbled a little bit, they can't gain their recomposure. You were not only to regain your composure, your footing, but you brought on an attack that was just tremendous. You know, your left hook, to me, is just a thing of beauty. How sure-footed were you in that aspect? Because when I watch it, from the point you got wobbled from the elbow to you coming, you know, crazily forward with that left hook, and then taking the stage back, What goes through the thoughts and the mind of a warrior in that aspect, from that transition to that transition? Because, you know, a lot of fighters would have just clammed up. You awoke, it seems.
Yeah, that was you got me. Now I have to try to erase that. I have to get you back. You tagged me once, I got to tag you five more times to balance the scales back in my favor. But yeah, man, it's like in the Muay Thai ring, that was the first time I've been dropped. But people forget that I've had 20 pro MMA fights before that, and I've won a lot of them. I've lost a lot of them. Like I said before, I've been through the trenches. I've been KO'd in an MMA cage. I've had my eyes swollen shut. I've been dropped. I've gone back up. I've fought through being cut and bloody and battered. And so it was nothing. It's nothing new to me. People aren't used to seeing me get wobbled or get dropped or anything like that in the Muay Thai world. But for me, it's nothing new. It's not like that's the first time it ever happened. I've been through the wars. I've been through the trenches. So it's for me, it's just I want to get it back. You got me. Like, all right, good. You got me. I want to try to erase that from everybody's memory by just coming forward aggressively and just kind of overwhelming it.
Now, another tremendous thing has happened for you, and I know it kind of actually made you look in the mirror and kind of reflect upon yourself and maybe even possibly gave yourself a grin. I don't know. You know, Sports Daily did a thing on Fighters of the Week, and lo and behold, who was on it? You know, what does it feel for you to be named amongst that elite, you know, list of names? You know, knowing that you've only been into the Muay Thai aspect for such a short period of time, brother.
Yeah, that was definitely, it was a surprise. It was an honor. Being up there with all the best fighters in the world, pretty much, on that list was Mikey Garcia and Jose Aldo and Joanna Jędrzejczyk and Dustin Poirier and all these people. And I'm right there with them. So it's just... For me, it's just a whole career of fighting. I've been fighting professionally, combined MMA and Muay Thai, since 2008. So it's like it's been a long time coming. It's gonna in October, I believe, it's gonna be 10 years fighting. So it's just finally, it's nice to be getting that recognition on such a big scale, and finally letting people see what I've been capable of my whole career, really. But it's just that now, finally, it's kind of starting to reap the fruits a little bit. That doesn't mean I'm resting on my laurels or anything like that. I'm never complacent. I'm never satisfied with anything like that, especially like this last fight getting dropped. Like, I'm a perfectionist, and even when I have like a fight that most people think is completely one-sided and no blemishes on me or anything like that, I nitpick it, and I pick things that I could have done better, and I'm always trying to improve something every single time I'm in there. So now that multiplies by 100, the fact that I was even dropped in a round. That's the first time that's happened. So it's like the accolades and everything is nice, and the recognition is great, and being undefeated and being the champion and everything like that. But me, I'm just trying to be the very best version of myself that I can. So that's constantly what I'm trying to achieve. And if people take notice along the way, then that's fantastic, but that's not what I'm in it for.
Yeah, I know you're not in it for that, brother. You know, first and foremost, like I said, I just want to apologize again for the way the show started out tonight. You deserved a better intro than what I gave you. But, you know, you look at the MMA aspect of yourself, and, you know, one can't help think that, Chip, once you jumped into the Muay Thai aspect, I mean, I know you know you don't want the accolades or this and that, but it seems that you truly found what you were destined to do in Muay Thai comparative to MMA. You know, when you look at it in that assumption, I went back and I watched some aspect of your career as an MMA fighter, and then I watched most of your career in Muay Thai. You're now gaining world recognition. Your name is getting thrown out there as one of the top. How glad are you, not just as a warrior, but as a man, that you made that decision to dedicate yourself to Muay Thai?
Oh, I'm ecstatic. I'm very, very happy about that. Like I said before, it was what I wanted to do for a long time. Ever since I was a little kid, and I've been in love with the martial arts since as far back as I can remember. I remember before I even started training karate when I was like 6 or 7 years old, I was out in the backyard jumping around, throwing kicks, and pretending I was a ninja turtle or whatever. And it's like, so it's like, it's been a lifetime, like, kind of dream of mine, and more so in the striking aspect of it. Like, I loved MMA. I still will watch MMA. I don't watch MMA as much as I used to, but while I was still competing in MMA, that's what I knew I wanted to do. I wanted to transition over to the kickboxing, to the Muay Thai world, because I knew that's where I could flourish. That's where I knew I could paint my my masterpieces without limiting myself with because in the MMA game, it's like it's its own thing. It's its own animal. And I don't think I was ever really able to flourish and show people what I could really do. But on this platform, on this stage, with this sport, I feel like I can finally actually like express myself and show people what I'm actually capable of. And clearly I have been. And now, like you said, now people are taking notice because I can finally let loose and be true to myself as a martial artist and everything, which I didn't feel like I could do in an MMA cage.
Yeah, I hear you there. And, you know, there's a few of you that I've interviewed in my lifetime that, you know, left MMA to go into Muay Thai and had very successful careers. Here you step in and basically you're undefeated in Muay Thai. You know, I had, you know, Crew Yawadi Hurst on my show, and I know we talked about her before in the past. But looking at the due diligence that one shares with the art of Muay Thai, how attached are you spiritually and motivationally, you know, to the sport? How much has it changed you as a man, you know, going out in the ceremonial garb and, you know, guess having the ultimate respect for your opponent, you know, unlike the MMA aspect?
Yeah, like I said, I've been a lifelong martial artist. So the traditions are always something that, like, carries a lot of weight with me. I grew up doing very traditional Goju Karate, USA Goju Karate, which it was pretty strict. We had to learn about the lineage of, like, the forefathers of karate and almost the family tree of what led to us and everything as students. So it's the aspects of respect and the virtues and everything like that, that's always something that I've kept as a martial artist, where nowadays I feel like in MMA, especially today, it's almost becoming more of like the showbiz aspect, and then people are making it almost like the WWE, and it's loud and it's brash, and not everybody, not every fighter is like that in MMA. There's a lot of true martial artists in MMA as well. There's a lot of really respectful fighters in MMA that have those same values. But as a whole, I feel like it's more about the show. And it makes sense. They're trying to make money. It's a business. That's what it's, at the end of the day, it's these people's livelihoods, and that's the way they make their money. But for me, I appreciate Muay Thai. Ever since I first, like, saw Muay Thai as a little kid, I'm pretty sure it was in like a cartoon, like Street Fighter or something like that, I was like, oh wow, that's cool, I want to do that. And it's part of it is because of all the traditions that go into it, all of the rituals and going over the rope and sealing the ring, and the fighters getting the Sakyan tattoos that are blessed, and like all these different things, and how all the different like fighters are like cool with each other. It's very respectful. I've never really had any like trouble with any of my past opponents in the Muay Thai game, like talking trash or any kind of animosity or anything like that. And yet we still get in the ring and we throw down, but it's very, it's still pure. It's not taken over by the need to make it a, a big showbiz kind of WWF kind of smack talking spectacle.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. You know, some of us old timers in the sport, we miss those days. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize that it went to Ultimate Fighting Championships, to Ultimate Fighting Entertainment. And the company was actually, part of it was bought by the same management company that manages Ronda Rousey and is part ownership in the WWE. You know, we don't like that aspect. I'm a traditionalist to begin with, and I came from boxing. So to come into MMA and be a true fan of it and watch it grow and now have it turned into pretty much, like you said, WWE Raw or something, it's just, it stymies me. It makes me kind of want to walk away from the business. You know, there's a lot of intent in life, and there's people that have gained knowledge, given knowledge, and helped give, you know, get us where we're at in certain parts of our life. What has the intent been, you know, towards you with Lion Fights? How much do you feel appreciated being under the Lion Fights banner, and what does it mean to you, Chip?
Lion Fights, they've been great for me. Scott Kent, he's always he always accommodates me. It's always a great time showing up there. All the staff and everything like that. I mean, at this point, fighting for them so regularly, and obviously the crew at like Foxwoods as well, the commission at Foxwoods, it's almost like I show up and it's home away from home. So it's nice that I've been kind of ingrained into that family. I started off as the guy at the first fight of the main card, and now I'm over here the main event of the card. So it's like when you're progressing through the ranks and you're fighting what, 7 times, you're gonna kind of make relationships with all the people that are in there, and it becomes almost like family. But yeah, like I said before, it's pretty much the biggest stage for Muay Thai in the country. They're still bringing like my last three opponents. This one was from Canada. The one before that was all the way from New Zealand. Time before that, I was over in London. So it's like, how else would I be fighting people from all over the world? It's just, it's a great opportunity for me to get my name out there and get more people from all over the world familiar with what I do. And that's what I like. I like people. I want to create my own legacy, so people, in years from now, they can think back at some of the best Muay Thai fighters ever come out of the country, and my name might be one of them.
Well, it is right now, my friend. It is right now. You know, that's what's tremendous about this, and I think that's what, you know, I love about your career. You know, you're the first to say your MMA career wasn't that great. We've already established that you made the move over to Muay Thai, and it's been tremendous. You know, there had to be a certain aspect that helped you walk or define that path as you stepped back into Muay Thai and this full aspect of it in its entirety. Who would you say was one of your greatest mentors going into Muay Thai, or just in general into this fight, last training camp, I'm sorry?
Just in general, I've pretty much been with the same team since I very first started fighting. The first time, when I very first started training martial arts, when I was just, a 6-7-year-old kid, training at that really traditional karate dojo. That's the foundation. That's what like kind of molded me as this a young little kid, 6-7 years old, to have those values and to work hard and to not mess around the gym. You talk, you're doing push-ups. It was very serious. We had a great competition team that I used to compete in tournaments and travel around New England and everything with. And that was Haunchy Dave McConnell. And he was he's still – no training to this day. He's still teaching over there in right downtown Plymouth. 10th dan, so yeah, 10th degree black belt. One of the most legit karate guys in probably in the country. A lot of the people around here that run karate schools of their own, they look up to him. They were his students at one point. So that was like the very, very first foundation that was laid for me, and it was a strong one. But then when I started training after high school, I got into like MMA, and because I was getting into MMA, the gym that I started training at, CCFA, it was primarily a striking school. Obviously, we did jiu-jitsu and wrestling and everything like that, but we were like kind of an offshoot of Sityotong Boston. So the trainers there, Pat Schultz and Mike Gresh, they were both students under Kumar Delagrati. So it was very, that's where I first got exposed to Muay Thai and boxing and everything like that. So those two guys, they were with me for pretty much my entire MMA career. Pat Schultz was actually cornering me in this past fight as well. He's still, he'll still be in my corner. And then obviously up at Sityotong, Kumar Delagrati. Kumar Massey is the one that he has a whole wealth of Muay Thai, from terminology to like Muay Boran techniques, like all the traditions, everything. And he has like worked a lot with me. He's the one that's always holding pads for me for my fights. He's the one that's not asking for anything. He's not in the spotlight. He's not not too many people know him. He likes being behind the scenes. But the man is kind of like the hidden jewel in the area as far as like a Muay Thai trainer. And then obviously Kumar Tethagrati is Kumar. He's world renowned as one of the best Muay Thai trainers in the country. So you can't really do better than these guys that I have with me in my corner. But yeah, they all in different ways have helped mold me along the way. Just I try to take as much knowledge as I can from everybody, and just kind of add it to what I've learned in the past and different things that I can think of on my own and different fighters that I might watch and just kind of create my own little snowball of knowledge and techniques and all the different things that I pick up here and there and make it my own.
Yeah, you know I got to ask, man, because ever since you've been with Lion Fights and they conjoined with MTGP and you've remained on this tremendous path, who does Chip Mirza-Pollard, the surgeon, want next?
Man, it's crazy because now it's not like when I used to fight MMA and they're like, oh, what opponent, like, who do you want to fight next? And I kind of had an idea because most of the people are coming from the pool that is like the New England MMA scene. So I had an idea. Nowadays, I have no clue because now we're picking from the entire planet and all the cruiserweights that the planet holds. So like I said, last time was from Canada. Before that, they got somebody all the way from New Zealand. Before that, I was in London. So I don't know who's out there. Obviously, there's a whole lot of very talented fighters in my weight class. So yeah, whoever, man, whatever they offer me usually is whatever my team decides. That's what I'm down for. I don't pick and choose. I never have in my MMA career. It's just I'm a martial artist. I like testing myself against all different kinds of fighters from all over the place. The further reaches of the world is great because then people from that portion of the world is going to be paying attention to the fight, and then maybe they've never heard of me before, and then after that fight, I'll be in their mind's eye when they think of American fighters, and even better for me. So who knows who's out there? I don't know who's out there, but I'm sure it's going to be somebody tough.
Yeah, I believe it will be somebody tough. But, my friend, you're creating a legacy that has already started. You're writing that book. And I tell you what, it's a tremendous path you've been on. I grew to be a fan of yours. You know, as you know, Scott Kent and Scott Zur like to, you know, throw their fighters on my show every once in a while, and that's how we originally met. But to watch you grow over this last year has been tremendous. To watch what, you know, you've demonstrated, not just as a warrior, but as a man, you know, it's truly been inspiring. You know, your fan base is growing tremendously. You know, Chip, how do you handle all this in 1 year, bro? I just wanted to ask you because it's like you've held a belt forever. I think you got two belts now, don't you?
Yeah, the Muay Thai Grand Prix belt and the Lion Fight belt, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, how do you maintain all this composure, and then now you're getting recognized with the top in the sport? How hard is it for you just to maintain that aspect of you, the warrior and the man, you know, with it? Like you said earlier, you don't like all these great things being thrown at you, but, you know, there's going to come a certain point in time that you're going to have to. How does that affect you, or will it affect you?
Well, I do not like the accolade. Obviously, everybody likes the recognition. I like I said, I'm trying to build a legacy, so the more people that know about me, the more everybody likes to get credit for their good work. Everybody likes to, every fighter likes glory. That's why we do this, for gladiators in the arena. Everybody wants to hear their name being praised. But for me, it's like, hey, I'll fight on the weekend, and then I have to go back to work on Monday, and nobody knows who I am yet, but it's whatever, man. Like I always say, whenever I have a fight coming up, it's always going to be a tough guy. It's always going to be a big show. At this point, I'm probably going to be either headlining it or co-headlining it or whatever, but I've been fighting for so long that, and like I said, in MMA, like the fact that I started in MMA and that sometimes I would win, sometimes I would lose, sometimes it would be a battle and I'd come out on top, sometimes somebody would just be laying on me and I'd lose the decision, it keeps you humble. It reinforced the idea, like I always say to this day, it's just another night in the office. So every time I go to fight, it's just, hey, whatever, no matter how big it is, it's just another fight. It's whatever. It's just, I've been doing this for so long that it's just another person in another enclosed space. It might be a different set of rules than what I was doing before, but it's just, hey, just another night, another fight. And win or lose, no matter how spectacular it is, or like if I at some point get beat, which is completely possible or probable, who knows, nobody stays undefeated forever. But I'm not undefeated because I know what it's like to lose, and I think that kind of helps me stay grounded and not get too full of myself, because I've lost before. I know what it's like to lose. I've had a title before in MMA a few times, and I've lost a title. So it's like, I've been through the ups, I've been through the downs, and that experience kind of it teaches you to not get too full of yourself, to stay humble, because on any given day, it could be anybody's day. It could be the next guy, who knows. I might zig when I should have zagged, and there goes my undefeated record. But, hey, whatever. If that happens, then, hey, on to the next one. It's just another night. So it's just, as long as you stay grounded and you stay just enjoying what you do, that's all it is. It's like I enjoy martial arts. I enjoy the whole aspect of it. I don't really enjoy cutting weight or not eating what I want to eat, but that's about it. But, hey, that's part of the game. But, yeah, man, it's just, as long as you're having fun and you enjoy it, then you're not thinking about winning or losing. You're just going out there and just doing what you like to do and not get too hung up. If you lose, and not get too full of yourself if you win, just stay balanced, and you'll be in good shape.
Most definitely. And, you know, just to make you feel a little different about that one thought, I know world champions in boxing that win a fight that Friday night or Saturday night, and then Monday they're back at work and nobody knows who they are, but yet they're legends in the sport. You know, that part of this business will always, you know, just mess with my mind, because if you truly love the sport, how can you not know the fighter? And that's what I love about the show. It gives a unique aspect into your thoughts. And that was a tremendous, you know, fight for you this last weekend, brother. And I'm truly honored you came on this show. I look forward to your next, you know, outing for Lion Fights. You truly are a tremendous warrior that is going to define the art of Muay Thai for them and that promotion. I'm going to hand the microphone over to you. Any friends, any family, any social media, any sponsors, anything else you'd like to add to the program, the floor is yours, my brother.
Yes, sir. The social media, still the same, pretty much across the board. It's at Chip the Surgeon, just one word, easy. That's on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I don't really use Twitter all that much, Snapchat, whatever. But, yeah, man, it's just, hey, I'm glad I can keep doing my thing on this stage. I hope everybody enjoys what I do. Hopefully next time I can put on even a better show for everybody to watch, because hey, that's what I'm in the game for. I'm trying to put on a show. I'm trying to get people out of their seats. But, yeah, big thank you, obviously, always to my team, Team City Yautong Boston up there. Everybody's grinding day in, day out. That's why I'm always ready to do what I do on a moment's notice, because I got teammates that are pushing me every time in. My students down to Bourne. Actually, I have two kids fighting in, what is it, just under 2 weeks, August 11th, over in Rhode Island for wartime Muay Thai. One of them, my student Josh, is going to be his second amateur fight. And my student Hannah, it's actually his girlfriend, it's going to be her very first amateur fight. So now I'm going from putting my fighter hat in the closet and busting out my coach hat, and going to be on the other side of the ropes and probably going to be more nervous for their fight than I am for mine. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. So, yeah, if anybody's in the New England area in a couple weeks on August 11th, make sure you come out to Wartime Muay Thai. It's always a good show.
I truly appreciate you coming on. It's been a great honor. I apologize for the technical difficulties, Chip. I promise next time it won't happen. Everybody go check out his fighters. Thank you so much for joining the show, brother. I'm truly honored. Oops.
Buzz, my pleasure, man. Always one of my favorite shows to be on, man. I love it.
All right, thank you. God bless you, brother. Ladies and gentlemen, if we don't have any more technical difficulties, we should be able to get Tanya Evinger on here. I'm just hoping and praying. She's on hold right now, but I'm having to reset the studio because we've had issues. So let me see if I can bring her on. And of course, it's going to give me crap. You know, we might just have to. I'll get you on in just 1 second, Tanya. I apologize. I've been having some issues tonight, but give me 1 second. I'll get you on. Just stay on hold. I apologize to my listeners. This is not the way I conduct my show. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with the internet tonight, but we'll get it fixed here shortly. If I can get back into my studio, and we'll see if we can get Tanya on. All right, let's see if we can get Tanya on now. Tanya, you there? Oh, this crap. This thing is just... I'm trying. She's right in the middle of training, so this is even teeing me off that much more, knowing that her time was short. So I'll give it one more try, and if not, we'll just reschedule Tanya for a further day, because she was going to have to cut the interview a little bit short anyway. But let's see if we can get her on here. Let's try right now. Let's see what we can do. It doesn't look like it's going to happen. Tanya, I'm sorry. Can you try to call in one more time? And if it doesn't work, we'll go ahead and cancel this. I appreciate it. I don't know what in the world is going on. We're going to get her to try to call back in one more time. And I have no idea what in the world is going on with the internet tonight. I don't run my shows this way, and I just, it's teeing me off. And hopefully I can get Tanya to call back in. Now it's saying my page is not working. Oh, I think I'm just going to cancel this show. This is just not how my show goes. We'll see if we can get Tanya on right now. If it lets me back in, okay, she's there. Let's see if I hit this. Okay. Tanya, are you there? I'll tell you what, Gator, I'm having so much internet issues tonight. I'll go ahead and do another show with you tomorrow, early in the day or whenever we can get it scheduled. It's not allowing me to bring you on for some reason. It keeps my board is just frozen. So you get back to training, Gator. I apologize to my listeners. We're going to try one more time and see if I can get her on.
Can you hear me?
There, Tanya? Yeah, I can hear you now. Jeez,
cool.
I am going through the worst technical difficulties anybody has ever had on live air. It's killing me, Smalls. Ladies and gentlemen, Tonya Evinger. You know, Tonya, you've been on my show 100 times. I don't roll like this. I don't know what is going up with the internet tonight, but it's killing me. But you finally got that fight that you've been wanting, and I know our time is short, so we're going to jump into this. What does this fight mean for you, Tonya? I mean, honestly, coming off the injury, you know, you've been trying your best to get back where you know, once were. What does this fight truly mean to Tonya Evinger and Team Filthy moving forward?
Man, it's just another step, you know. Obviously in the right direction in my weight class, right where I want to be. And, you know, I was asking for a fight at the end of August, and I guess there wasn't a matchup for me there, so we just got in as soon as we can, and this is what they gave me. Obviously, I would rather fought in Dallas because I, you know, so close to my house, you know, but, you know, I'll take whatever they give me. I really don't care.
Yeah, you know, it, by the way, it was awesome seeing you again at Invicta. You know, it's kind of weird seeing you there but not seeing you walk out to the cage. And, you know, that aspect I do miss because me and you go way back in that regard. But, you know, I got to admit, to see you finally get to the UFC, to finally see you do what you can do best and, you know, being the pioneer in the sport that you are, how variable of an opponent is Caitlin Vera to you? I mean, in that aspect, do you feel it's a major stepping stone in the future, in the career of Tonya Evinger?
To be honest, you know, I think that every time I fight somebody, I fought a lot of girls that have been undefeated, you know. So every time I fight somebody, it's just like I'm like always an underdog. So it really doesn't matter to me. I really don't care about people's record and stuff. It doesn't mean anything until, you know, I get in the cage with them and I figure out what is really going on. But aside from that, you know, I think just this fight in general, it's first fight in UFC for my weight class. And I'm just happy to be in there actually competing in my weight class so I can get on the right track and get towards that title, you know?
And I think it's long overdue, and I think this is a track that you need to be on. We know you just started camp, and I promise you we'll keep this interview short because you screwed up and allowed me to schedule it during the middle of your training. But anyway.
I didn't plan on it going this long, to be honest.
But, you know, you talk about being the first fight in your weight class. You know, when I seen the fight between you and Cyborg, it was tremendous. I saw a tremendous warrior. You know, how hard has it been for you, Tonya, to overcome this injury and get back to the state that you were before prior?
I'm sorry. Somebody's talked in my ear. Say that again.
I said, how hard has it been for you to overcome this injury and get back to where you need to be, considering you just started camp?
Oh, yeah. You know, I think I'm just happy to have that, you know, that full camp. Normally I get like a 5-week camp, and you know, that's good enough for me. I feel like I peaked perfect. That's the perfect amount of time for me. And this is the first time I'm taking a really long full camp. And it's because, you know, of the injury, obviously, and I'm feeling really good. And, you know, I've been checked out multiple times by all my doctors and stuff, and they say my knee's really strong and everything's good to go. And, you know, I feel the same. So, obviously, I thought I could go around August, the end of August. Hey, shut the fuck up! Quit yelling! Anyway, obviously, I think that, you know, this is perfect timing. I think it's great time to, you know, get back in there and get going for the years up and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I think I'm ready, man. There's not much more time can even do, you know, so.
Yeah. Well, you know, Tonya, you've done pretty much just about everything you can do in this sport. You know, what does this moment mean to you? Not because you're a gladiator, you're a warrior, you're a pioneer, you're a true veteran, but what does this moment truly mean to Tonya Evinger, the person, the one that has devoted all of her life for this opportunity?
Man, I think you, along with everybody else that has watched the sport, like really watched the sport, knows it. You know, this fight is where I've been asking to be. Maybe not this particular opponent, you know, but obviously this position. And I've worked my whole career to get here and to prove myself. And obviously as soon as I get here and do that, everybody thinks I'm an unranked fighter and it's a bullshit fight and this and that. But you know what? I just don't give a shit about the general fan, I think that they're really ignorant when it comes to women's MMA, and obviously they're catching on. But I really think that this fight is a great fight. You know, she's 10-0, and in my eyes, I'm 10-0 at 135. Obviously, I fought Cyborg, but you know that's a weight class up, short notice. A lot of aspects of that fight, you know, that just didn't really benefit my career. You know, so there's not anything I'm really holding against myself. But at my weight class, I'm 10-0, so I think it's a perfect matchup. I think she's come a long ways and proved a lot of things, and I think that it's a great matchup. I think the winner should get the title shot and go from there, although I really don't see that happening with Cyborg and Nunes fighting at 145 in December, you know. I don't really know what their plans are with us, but I definitely think that that's a fight that should be the next up for title.
Yeah, well, you know, personally, and I got into a tiff with Nina Anzorov on social media over it, and I won't back down from my statement. I don't think Amanda Nunes should be up in that weight class. I honestly don't think so. I don't think she has the power, you know, to go against Cyborg. I don't think she has the power to beat you. I mean, it's just my personal thought. You know, everybody gets mad when I make a personal statement because, oh, I'm Don the photographer, I'm Don the journalist. But, you know, I'm also entitled to an opinion. Who are we calling now?
Can you hear me? We're calling somebody.
I don't know what is going on. I didn't call anyone. Music just started playing on its own. Hold on. I told you, this is the worst night in radio ever. Oh, my God.
Come on, let's kill them on this.
Down,
let's show these youngsters how to do it, yeah. Because they're doing it wrong.
Oh, my God.
Doing it
really?
Right.
Hey. Tanya, I swear to God.
Shout out Hoffman. Coming from the heart, fam. But that nigga Daniel, we pull up in the dark. 18, hopping in the bed. Every parachute is mini-man hopping out. I got a parachute. I call them bogus. Somebody saying they got a pair of rules. I ain't sharp and fine. Yeah, but first you got to force a fire. Haven't been back to the corner. And before the fire, we shoot.
I don't know what's going on with the internet. My board, obviously.
Yeah, we never
talk.
This ain't a homicide. Homie, be cool. It's a lyrical assassination in the booth. Get it? Assassination
right.
Bloop. Then I blew the top off of the link and then I'm speeding through. I got the real spitters. It's a melee. Yeah, I'm nutty with these bars. Call me Payday.